right. What is up, everybody? We are back with another episode of the Fighting Pit Podcast, episode number 30. We've been doing this for about 10 months now, which is kind of crazy, right?
That's so sick.
It's pretty wild. The time has not always, but sometimes has flown by. I can't believe we're already on episode 30. We got both my co-hosts here, as usual. Mullahoo, Wizard Beast, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Good. Yeah, I got my bathing suit on. We sprinted straight here, getting the last vestiges of summer before it starts to transition over. And at Wizard Beast, you're about to start sliding back over into school stuff too. So the waning days, but no, we're doing well.
Awesome. Yeah, super excited to do this. Happy belated birthday to Mullahoo.
Thank you.
A little birthday celebration. And we have other things to celebrate as well. We have some announcements for this episode. The big one is going to be our next community event, which will be coming up very, very shortly. So we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Before we do, with the housekeeping out of the way, if you enjoy the show, do remember to like, subscribe, follow, all that typical social media stuff. Really helps us out a whole ton, helps support the show, and it is greatly appreciated. So we are doing another Pauper event. The last one was a ton of fun. It was really neat getting to theme it around the recent character at the time, Nazoth, and thought it would be a great idea to run it back, try something like that again. We have the C'Thun event ongoing for, I think, another week, a little bit over a week or something at the time of recording this. So C'Thun is going to be our theme for the new event. A lot of the stuff is going to be the same. Most of the rules are going to be the same as usual. No legendaries allowed except for C'Thun. He's going to be our one exception. The ban list, we do have a small ban list. Trigor staying on there. Even though he's a little bit less powerful, I think he's still too warping for the format. So we're keeping him out. Localar has an equipment ban, so you cannot run his frost scaling equipment. And we are adding one more equipment ban to the list. We are banning the Vol'jin speed equipment, as it felt a bit too prevalent and powerful during the last event. So we want to make these kind of be a little more diverse, and thought this would be a good way to shake it up a little bit. Can still use Vol'jin if you want. You can try out one of his other equipments that I would bet you like two whole people know what they do because nobody ever uses them. But they're actually pretty decent. I know Wizard Beast and I were looking over them, and it's like his skill one deals more damage or his AoE deals more damage. They're actually not bad equipments. It's just they can't compete with giving all your shadow stuff a lot of speed, like, understandably. But those are our general rules for the event. I'm going to basically put up individual video talking about signups and stuff, as it is going to take a few more days to get all that set up. But we do have an starting date for the event, so we are planning on doing this September 17th, so a little bit over 3 weeks from now or so. And it should be a lot of fun. We're going to stream it on Twitch, and it will be going up on YouTube edited as well afterwards. These events are a lot of fun. Gives us kind of something to do while we're waiting for the next patch, as we're getting to point two on Tuesday. There's some stuff we're going to talk about in a little bit in there, because there were some mercenaries buffs that we're going to be getting soon. But generally, nothing too major. Pretty quiet time for the mode. Unfortunately, we did not get a new event announced, which means it's pretty unlikely we're going to get an event in September. Generally, they announce these, or they put these in the bigger patches, be that 0.0, 0.2, and given that we're getting 0.2, and they didn't announce an event, the patch after 0.2 is probably going to be another smaller patch focused on standard balancing, because standard is a mess right now. Apparently the last balance patch made it worse, which is kind of hilarious. Standard, not in a great spot right now, but that's probably going to be the focus of their next patch 2 weeks after the one coming on Tuesday. So, and then 2 or 3 weeks after that, I think is when we're expecting. The yeah, the big one, 22.4 mini set, and more importantly, the Mercs drop. I really think, given that we're getting this this next patch on the 30th of August, I was looking at the calendar. I think we're going to get an announcement for 0.4 on September 29th, very end of September, and then a few days later, Tuesday, October 4th, is my guess of when we're going to see the 0.4 patch. It could also be the 11th. It depends.
Which would be the year anniversary almost to the day.
That's a very good point. I didn't think about that. That is like, I think Mercenaries came out on the 12th or something. So yeah, that would actually be a very fitting time to get out the Mercenaries update. Like, and it would also be a very fitting time to give us that coin exchange, which I think
is a real possibility. More than just the Mercenaries, right? Like, it could be the PvE system. It could be the coin rework. It could be all the new Mercenaries. And like you said, there's no event. And so that kind of makes it seem like it could be a Mercs and something, right? So whatever that something is, that could be the big one.
Yeah. I think we are going to have to wait a little bit longer for the PvE stuff, because they did say that was getting delayed till early next year. I think that's going to be the following drop.
Right, because it was supposed to be maybe earlier.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Not pushed, and the coins coming in, that's it.
But right, the fact that they did say, the fact that they announced that delay before, and then after that told us, hey, excess coin exchange coming this year, I don't think they would say that after delaying the end game, unless they were really sure that they could actually hit the date. So I think it either has to be in this next big drop, or it'll be in the next big 0.0 patch with the next expansion in December. But if it's coming this year, those are the two times that it would come at. Yeah, there's really not another opportunity that would be as good, but it would be a slam dunk if for the year anniversary they have a big drop and they finally implement the thing people have been asking them for about a year now. Or about a year
and
then.
And especially like with all the brand, like suddenly again another like 20 Mercenaries come out. And if, I mean, that's the thing, like we've always been talking about, like events pulling people back in, but like if they were like, hey, by the way, everybody, 20 new Mercs and you can flip your coins, like now is the best time to just roll the six to however many people that you kind of want to suddenly play. I mean, that you'd see a huge spike in terms of how many people I think would return for that, even just to click the buttons and see what the exchange rate is. Start asking again some of the established people, like, okay, what's good, what's not, like then they start going back and looking at what has performed, like what do you want to start investing in. I mean, that could really, that would be the catalyst that they would have to grab onto and then let that run through until the PvE, and that's the hope, that's the, it could actually get set up for some structure.
Yeah. It would be a very welcome change. And I think it would really be a smart thing to do right by the mode. I mean, you could even get people back who quit at launch, who had thousands of coins for these launch Mercenaries that they didn't play. And now they can get a head start and convert those coins into new characters. They're actually useful. So that would be also a long time ago when they changed the Mysterious Stranger stuff and the tasks. They said sometime down the line there are more changes coming, and they haven't really talked about that since, but I do think that's also a possibility, that if they do try and push the game more with the coin fix and the big drop, which I think it only makes sense to, that's really the time they should be pushing that kind of stuff, because you give people a reason to play the game. Say, hey, it's been a while, but things have significantly changed, and You give people something like a legendary quest that makes them go into the mode and screw around with it, and you never know. I've heard a surprising amount of people who that's actually how they got into Mercenaries, was they had a legendary quest, they had to do a bounty, they're like, oh wow, this is actually kind of cool, and they stuck with it. And another thing we'll be talking about towards the end of the show that's also potentially driving some new players to Mercenaries is is Battlegrounds monetization. I can now unironically say that Mercenaries is the best free-to-play mode in Hearthstone, which is kind of funny.
And it's only going to get better, potentially.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, too, is the more Mercs that you add in, the more free packs everyone's getting. Of 100 Mercs right now, there's 300 free packs in this mode, not including any of the campaigns that you go through or anything else of the free coins you're getting. So already, like, I can't think of any other mode that's been out in Hearthstone that you get 300 packs for free in.
No, that's actually a really good point. Like, it's a lot, it's quote unquote a lot of work still in that sense, but with the Mysterious Stranger fix, you can kind of just like turbo straight to a pack if you want it. Like, it really does give you a good quest, to actually just straight up open.
Gives you a loop.
So that is a good point,
A solid gameplay loop. Like, I know someone on the Discord, and this is obviously not going to be your average player, I'm sure they played a lot, but they started Mercenaries like a month and a half ago, and today, or yesterday, recently, they finished the last task for their last character.
That's sick.
And I'm like, that's not bad at all for someone coming in new, getting all the tasks done in like a month, month and a half. Mm-hmm. You get those 300 free packs. I guarantee you, you're not going to need to open them all. If you've been playing that much, you probably have grinded up some characters, especially the most important ones for like PvE grinding, maybe some PvP. And then you can sit on however many packs you have left for the next drop, which is, it's funny that because of the poor launch and because of how aggressive Blizzard was with their marketing and their pre-orders, I think a lot of people, especially those who were like really into the social media side of Hearthstone and whatnot, they took it to mean, hey, this mode is going to be as expensive as standard is. Because frankly, that was kind of the impression it was giving. I'm already paying what? It's like $130 if you buy both pre-order bundles or something. Like, I'm already paying that three times a year, and you're asking me to pony up another $50, $100, $130 for this new mode I know nothing about? That seems like a tall order. It's like you're doubling the price of the game if I want to play both of these modes. And that was it's a very understandable conclusion to draw. It just turns out that, especially with how the game has improved, you really don't need to spend any money on the game to actually have a complete collection. I know more people at this point who have full free-to-play, full max, than people who have bought packs. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's, and obviously there's some selection bias there and whatnot, but the overall, I think that's one of the best things about the mode, and I've been like slowly getting some of the people leaving Battlegrounds like, hey, you should try this. You never know. You might actually like it, and if you're free to play, you do not have to spend money. You can ignore the store entirely, and if you're willing to put in the time, you will have basically the exact same stuff that a paid player has, which for especially, I know a lot of people consider Mercenaries closer to the gacha genre, but anyone who's played a real gacha game knows that they do not typically let you get everything in the game for free. Usually those five star,
like, swinging and missing and like entirely, it's just like a complete waste of like you literally open a pack and you get like nothing useful, essentially. Like so much more of the gacha experience. And there was that like moment and moments certainly where the coins were just like, don't open a pack. But at least in, I guess maybe the bad part is in like in gachas, you're never incentivized to like not open. At least Mercenaries had the kind of like wherewithal almost to be like, okay, you can just stop.
You can just
store them. Whereas gachas keep doing it. And because you want to still hit your five star or whatever, right? So that you can actually get your big fancy guy. But Mercenaries just kind of messed it up, but at least it didn't force you to just keep ripping them.
Yeah, like it messed it up in a good way for the player. Like, because in those gachas, there's no, oh, I can just grind the PV and then I can choose this five star and get it. No, that's not really how those games work typically. You're opening the packs to get it and that's it. The fact that you can craft any legendary in the game if you're willing to grind their coins and their bounty and stuff, that's like the biggest strength of the game. It's just they need to make PvE a bit more interesting so people feel incentivized to do that, because if you just want to play PvP like some of us do, the grind requirement is definitely one of the things that puts people off. But we've talked before a bunch of times, there are a lot of ways to fix that and hope they change that in the future or make it better and whatnot. But at the very least, it's not what I would call like gacha level predatory. Like, I feel like the game does a lot to make me feel like I don't need to spend money at all. Like, it almost does more of that than stuff that makes me feel like I should, which is strange for a game that obviously is trying to make money and apparently has been successful at making money, according to some of the things we've heard, like that Ben Lee interview before he left. So it's definitely very interesting. I think the next few months with this next big drop, and more importantly, the one after it that comes with PvE Endgame, I think those two things are really going to paint a picture for what we can expect from the mode in the future, for better or for worse. I think those, they're really going to give us an idea of where they're at, where they're trying to go with the mode, which really, that's just what people want to know. It feels like the communication on Mercenaries has never been good for the most part. We got lucky for a little while there that we had someone from the team who was communicating with us on a fairly regular basis, and that was awesome. Unfortunately, they are not on the team anymore, and so communication has gone down significantly.
They're a different team, though. It's not like they were like,
oh, true,
that there was an evil person and we shouldn't trust anything. Like, they're just have
it was just contractual, contract stuff.
So, which is good.
But it's unfortunate that there has been so little communication about the mode, as we've talked about it a bunch, with players kind of are left to draw their own conclusions. And a lot of times that results in people kind of fearing the worst, because it's just where the human mind goes
people
to sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, silence is kind of a response in a way, right? Like, it doesn't make people feel good when there is a lack of communication. It doesn't breed confidence. So hopefully we can see them do a little bit better about that as we get closer to the launch. Some of you may remember last time I was actually surprised at how much backlash there was from the community, just because I didn't think there were that many of us. when the mini set announcement dropped and they didn't say anything about Mercenaries, people were mad. I mean, I was one of those people too, but I was surprised there were so many others. And that was kind of an interesting moment. And Alkali did some nice reveal stuff, which was. Mm-hmm. Very good.
But they responded pretty immediately, essentially.
Oh, yeah. She did a great job.
Super props to Alkali.
I'm curious if they're going to take a more proactive approach this time to avoid repeating that that same level of anger, especially so close to a time where a lot of people are angry about Hearthstone because of the Battlegrounds monetization stuff and because of these things called runestones that we'll talk about towards the end of the show. So it seems like it would be really, it just wouldn't behoove them to make that same mistake twice. So I'm going to hope they've learned from it. And and if they are pushing it more with like this excess coin fix, you would think that would be the time to say, hey, let's get some creators involved. Let's get the marketing train going, right? Like, they want people to know that. They don't just want the people who've been playing Mercenaries the whole time to know that. They want people from the general Hearthstone population to know that, because they want to keep growing it. They want to get more players. So we'll have to wait and see on all that stuff, but hopefully we won't have to wait too much longer, more than a month, and in the meantime, we have our Pauper event to look forward to. Again, the 17th, there will be a video out later this week up on YouTube, just giving all the details. It'll have sign-up stuff as well, but very much looking forward to that. The last event was a huge success. It was really fun. The Pauper events are always really, really fun, and I'm looking forward to doing that stuff with the community. We're going to try and do another draft weekend next weekend, so given us some stuff to do in this kind of lull period where there's just not a whole lot going on in Mercenaries, it's kind of hard to try something new in the PvP meta, because it's just, I don't want to say it's fully solved, but it's stagnant. There's not a whole lot of innovation going on anymore, because, I mean, we've had 3 months with these characters. It's a long time. And this is kind of what we were worried about a little bit. Is 4 months too long? I think, and I did a little separate video about this, I think personally, and I really hope this is some feedback that they can potentially maybe act on for next year. I don't expect it to happen much sooner than that, but I think they should just split the difference 1 month was too fast, 4 months is too long, 2 months, but split the content from the big drops into just half.
Two chunks of 10.
It seems reasonable, and I think that would give people time to farm up their characters. It would allow time for the meta to develop and whatnot, but just as it's starting to get maybe a little stale or a little too samey, boom, all of a sudden new content, new characters. I think it would just fit the mode a lot better. I mean, I'd even take 3 months, but I think if you do 3 months ones, you should probably do it 4 times a year instead of 3. That would also be cool, but that would require more work. Whereas this would be, hey, we already have all the content for this big drop. You just split it in half, 2 months, 2 months later. It would just, because I don't expect them to change that until at least next year. Like, we're going to get the set in October. We're probably going to get Endgame and the next set in February, looking at their schedule. But maybe in the new Hearthstone year announcement, because that's when they first announced the change to Mercenaries release cycle. They could announce another one and say, hey, yeah, 1 month was too fast, 4 months is too long, let's find something in the middle, because I think it would really benefit the game and the community as a whole if they tried a different approach, you know?
I mean, they're obviously trying to toe the line between people, certainly the other side of the spectrum of feeling is like, oh, if the turnover is too high, all my grind goes to a waste because we just get invalidated quite quickly with new mercs in that way. But so you obviously have to somehow find the medium between those two perspectives, that's on their shoulders to solve that. But you would have to imagine that something like the updated PvE or the coin solution
will help.
If even like, I mean, imagine that literally, right? Like, if you could say, okay, we're getting 10 mercs every 2 months. And so I grind for my set of, say there's like 3 or 4 new mercs that I want to grind for. I grind for those. I have them for those 2 months. New mercs come out. If you can use the coins, even not even about your other mercs to coin swap in, but like the ones that you just grinded, you might literally essentially want to disenchant them into 2 of the new ones now. And that play pattern is actually like pretty sustainable. And people loved, I mean, the disenchant system is, in my opinion, being like a hardcore long-term Hearthstone player, I mean, the disenchant system is pretty goated. It's one of the best ways to have the free-to-play accessibility of Standard. And we kind of don't have that yet, but this would be an opportunity to kind of have the disenchant system. It's very easy to keep up with like relatively consistent content as long as you just kind of like, again, pick your Pokemon and stick with it, choose your starter, and like you kind of have to commit, right? You can't be wishy-washy, but that's a whole new way to play the game. But I think it would have been hard to do it this year, without the coins swapping and any kind of solution for that. But I think this is a good limit test year to have the big, huge chunks of separated time. We definitely felt like it was a little too long. If you give us a way to disenchant and then speed it up, you start to hit that kind of that money range for sure.
And the one thing I will kind of say a little bit in defense, though, is hopefully, at least what I'm hoping for, is with the new PvE system, then it would be something new to do. Like, if it's, say, new PvE that we can't just, like, beat in, like, a day all the new content, imagine if we're playing that and it's like, okay, hey, now we're bouncing between PvE and then PvP, and it's like, if more PvE is coming out, because we also haven't gotten PvE for a while, too. Like, that's been another big chunk, too, which I feel like is also why some things are feeling slower. It's like, a lot of the new mercenaries have been just having their coins replaced in older bounties. True. So if we have more of a sustainable PvE system, I feel like that will also kind of help balance out the time. And who knows, like, what if they even go more mercenaries this next drop? Like, we never know. They could even go more and be like, okay, hey, here's another 10 on top of it. I mean, we never know, because they said also that with that first change, that a lot of mercenaries were rushed and they didn't get all of the ones they wanted. So there, we know that this one probably will have at least a couple more, because they did say that like some things also got pushed back because of that. Yeah. So I'm guessing there might be like at least another 3 to 5 in this next drop.
Some on top of the normal number. Some PvE content actually got cut. There is some data mine stuff, and actually part of the reason we know this is because there was that uncompletable Yasharaj task, and that was because they changed where the bounty was located, but didn't change the task. So it used to be in Sunken City, not Darkshore. But I believe one of the data miners pointed out that there was actually another zone that it's kind of some bits and pieces of it are lurking around in the game, but it's not released and or it's not complete or whatever it is. So it seems like they were working on another zone, but and I mean, even when the patch came out, they did say they tried to get it out a bit faster than normal because people were like, wow, the mini set already? It feels a little early, like two weeks early or something. And that was because they were trying to get the mercenary stuff out. So now they've had a bit more time. And hopefully we can see. I also personally subscribe to the belief that the reason PvE content has gotten decreased in terms of like the amount we're getting, like Wizard Beast pointed out how they're replacing coins and stuff for old bounties instead of giving us like a new one like we got with N'Zoth. I think that's because the vast majority of their resources for PvE content have been focused on this endgame system. It sounds like a very big undertaking, and I would hope that they understand that, especially after delaying it, that the expectations of it are going to be very high. And they really can't afford a repeat of launch. I think if you launch the PvE endgame and it goes even half as poorly as launch, I think it spells a lot of doom and gloom for the future. If we had to wait over a year for something, at that point, almost a year and a half, we had to wait that long and then it's not done correctly, I think that's going to be, that would be the hypothetical nail in the coffin for a lot of people where they say, all right, I've had my fun. I gave it some time, but clearly they don't know what they're doing with this here. And it's time to move on. So hopefully that's not the case. I think they do understand that. I think that they got a lot of feedback from launch, and I don't think they would have delayed it unless they felt like it was actually important to delay it to get it right. And also, I'm sure they understand that by delaying it, they are also amping up those expectations of, well, did this actually need to take an additional 4 more months or 6 more months or however much longer? It's expected to launch in a complete state. And the hope, and from what they've talked about, it sounds like the goal is it's really trying to give people an endgame, something to do with, hey, I've maxed my whole collection. I either don't play much PvP, I don't have interest, or I want something else to do. It's got to be something repeatable. It's got to be something you can just like, it's got to be kind of what they framed the original mode as and be kind of like a roguelike where you have reason to do it over and over and over again.
Yep.
And it's kind of hard to speculate on how they're going to do that because, as we've talked about on prior episodes, they've got to implement some kind of reward system that's not coins. They have to give you a reason. Yeah. Oh god. Yeah. We know those aren't.
Hopefully, you can farm runestones and the new
everyone will be playing.
Oh my god! Can you imagine the reaction from the greater Hearthstone community if mercenaries was the way you could farm some runestones and it was the only mode you could do that in?
People hey, it's mercenaries or nothing. Minds. What do you think?
Yep.
Oh, people would still be mad. Oh, like it's they have confirmed that runestones are not going to be earnable in game, so we can cross that hypothetical off the list. But just imagine, like, you think this backlash is bad for the battleground stuff? Oh, people would be so mad. Oh, it's kind of funny, but generally kind of wait and see with that stuff because it's just way too hard to speculate on. Like, we have an idea from what they've said. It sounds like we're going to have another excess coin use there where you can kind of juice up your guys with extra coins. So that'll be, I think it's actually fantastic that we're going to potentially have multiple uses for the extra coins. The fact that we're actually getting some kind of exchange system on top of them being useful in PvE endgame is really, I think, what this mode definitely needs because, like, I'm a hoarder of coins. I have like 600,000 or something, which is absurd. Like, you only need 240,000 to go from nothing to a max collection. It's silly how many coins some of the people who have been playing the whole time have, and it's unrealistic to expect Blizzard to necessarily balance around that. Like, I don't think they can afford to do that because it would be so punishing to newer players. Like, you can't balance around people who've put hundreds of hours into your PvE and who've been playing it for the past 8 months, past year. Like, it just would make for a bad experience for newer players. So, we'll see with all that stuff. Hopefully we won't have to wait much longer for the initial coin exchange. I think, and Mull, who also pointed this out, we're near the anniversary. Like the release date, if it's not the 4th, if it is a little bit later October, October 11th is also a Tuesday, which is typically when they release patches. And that is one day off of the 1 year anniversary of Mercenaries. So, I mean, what better time to finally give the people what they've been asking for since launch than the 1 year anniversary? And maybe that's finally when they decide to put a little bit more effort into marketing it again, whether that be with ads or with creators, or we'll have to wait and see. But it would just, it makes so much sense to do that, that I can't imagine like they don't. Like,
yeah, that's certainly, they thought about it, right? If they don't do it, I'm sure they have a very good reason to not do it, but it was on the cutting board for sure in some capacity. I would even unironically totally be down for another like split of bundles, like the experience around people in the early days, like it's definitely just like the golden age, like old man, like veteran thinking of like the early days of Mercenaries. But like, it was so cool to have people, because I was like regularly streaming then too, and so people were just like coming in all the time being like, what's the good bundle to get? Like, it truly felt like there was a decision to be made and that people were having really a lot of fun theory crafting which one they were going to like to pick to be able to go with like the other still unknown characters, like just off of numbers. Like, oh, I got the Lich King one. Like, oh, I'm totally going to get the Sylvanas one. Like, I would be down, even as a free-to-play person, the culture and the kind of moment that came around that choose your starter energy was really cool. And so I loved it, even if they just picked up the marketing and just did that again. I'd honestly be fine with that.
And now people know the value of diamonds in terms of scarcity. Yeah. Nobody knew, right? Yep. Like, they told us, but nobody really knew. Like, I didn't know just how rare diamonds would be. I thought, they won't be that hard to get. I didn't pre-order anything. And then, boom, it was quite some time before I got my first diamond, if I recall correctly. And I swear by that skins were less common on launch. I've talked to, like, a few different people about this. I don't have hard proof of this, but I wish there was a way I could go back and look at the numbers, because I swear it's changed. Like, sometime around the Valyra launch, it really felt like skins started to show up more. And they're still pretty rare, but they do not feel like they, at least just your regular legendary skins, do not feel as rare as they were at launch. They're still rare, but like, it feels like they tweaked that at some point. But another cool thing is I don't know if they added this to all versions of the character, but I noticed the other day they gave the Lich King an animation now. Like, they've added a lot of entrance animations. They gave him like a sick one. It's like he like frosts the whole board. Yeah, I was surprised too, because you don't see him very often. And I played it, I was like, holy shit, this is sick. Like, they should have had those animations. Like, the animations add a lot in terms of it just gives people that kind of flashy. It doesn't do anything to the gameplay. It just makes you like, this is this cool, iconic character, and they're so badass, they deserve their own fancy animation. And Hearthstone has hundreds of animations they can pull from. I wouldn't be surprised if that's some random card animation from a card in Wild that hasn't been played in 5 years.
Yeah, like, that's a good idea.
And that's what they do. That's where they grab a lot of these animations are from old cards, and cards that are like the Hearthstone version of these mercenaries. And so I love that they're doing that. Like, it's awesome. They don't have to do that at all, but it feels like it adds to that feeling of just making you more immersed in the game. And I think that's a really great thing. So maybe it would be cool to see something like that. I do think it is at the same time a little bit risky in a way, because the bundles are one thing that I think scared a lot of people off in a way. And I think a lot of people who did stick with the mode felt like they were marketed something that wasn't what they actually ended up purchasing. I know that's a pretty common sentiment with the people who dipped on out pretty early. So I do think Blizzard has a large amount of work to do before they can just throw out some more fat bundles and have people respond to that positively. But it doesn't mean they won't do it. They are not afraid of some backlash, as we have seen recently. It's possible. But we do want to transition to talk about the patch notes, because there is a patch coming on Tuesday. Not a whole ton of information for mercenary stuff, but there is some stuff, so we do want to cover it. If you want to follow along, patch notes will be in the description. We did kind of know that some buffs were coming. We were told they were going to be a little bit more minor than the last wave, but frankly, some of these are actually a bit more impactful than I was expecting. So, yeah, let's talk about this. We're just going to focus on the mercenaries buffs. There is a bunch of other stuff in the patch notes. Battleground stuff is the main stuff, because obviously it's a 0.2 patch. Those are typically focused around Battlegrounds. Starting the new season, we'll talk at the end about the news surrounding that and the controversy and whatnot. But in terms of mercenary stuff, Murky and its portraits can now be obtained through all normal methods. This is pretty standard. Once the pass character or an event character is no longer obtainable, the next major patch, they get added to packs, so nothing surprising there. We have some buffs, though. And let's see, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 buffs. 7 character buffs, some more impactful than the others. The first one, this one honestly seems kind of silly to me, but it's a character who will never deny having a buff, because he certainly needs all the help he can get, and that's King Crush. So King Crush, Apex Predator, his main attack ability, went from being attack the lowest health enemy minion, Deathblow, repeat. Now it does the same thing, except Deathblow, gain 5 health, and repeat. Yeah, he's still a bad Yashiraj cosplayer. He is not playable. I don't think he's going to become playable. Maybe, I mean, he was decent in PvE and stuff, but still there. I think he's outclassed by Yashiraj now. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with King Crush. I don't see a way where, even though they're different colors and different tribes, yeah, I don't see a way you ever make King Crush more appealing. I mean, yeah, you can spam his beast now too, because they buffed him a while ago for that, but it's just not enough to make this character see play, especially in a meta where leading with greens is just not good. So they also did change it, so his ability will be at 5 speed at all levels. This is just them kind of...
It's pretty good for the free-to-play character. Yeah, like you can just put 1 point right now in Apex Predator, and like, yeah, you now have a fully functional dinosaur, like, for the most part, and like, that feels pretty good. At least, yeah, for like the kind of like intro player experience. You kind of always kind of have to have like an intro player tribe, mm-hmm, and in this case, like, beasts were definitely an OG era tribe. You don't have to have many legendaries, really. Even Rexxar, you don't really like need it. There are a bunch of different cute,
especially
ways
now
to get
that
it,
there's Trigor and stuff, like, there's a plethora of beasts now, and the speed change also is kind of them in line with stuff that they've done before, where they don't want a player not upgrading an ability to get some weird interaction. Like, we saw them change Garrosh for that. I think it's just better for the game. They're very clearly balancing it around the character having its max abilities, not these fringe scenarios, and it just doesn't make good game design sense to have it be beneficial to not fully max out your character when that's like the whole big part of the game. So makes a whole lot of sense there. The next change is actually something we were rallying for, so this is kind of cool to see to see this actually get implemented in game. And I think we can cover both of them because it's just like literally one line of text. But Cariel and Cornelius, the Rome family, both of their skill ones, so their attacking abilities, Crusader's Blow and Martial Mastery, are now both holy spell schools. So, small thing, but we actually tweeted out asking about this like maybe a month ago, a month and a half ago or something, saying, hey, we see you guys have kind of like, especially with the shadow, you're giving tribes or you're giving spell schools to physical attacks. It would be nice if we could get some of these launch characters that weren't designed with that philosophy in mind updated to help out some tribes that need more support, in this case holy. Obviously, these are both very holy focused characters, so, and their abilities like look like and sound like holy abilities, so it just kind of made sense for them to do this, but nonetheless, it is really nice seeing them respond to some feedback like that. And simple change, but it helps holy, and that's good, because tribe needs some help.
Yeah, I think it's just good changes to add. Like we saw with Tyrion earlier, he got that holy tag on his attack too for the 2-speed. And it's just nice to, I think, start kind of adding all these tags to the abilities because it just makes it so the mercenaries can be more useful in different scenarios. So I think overall it's just positive.
Yeah, and it requires like so little actual work. You're not tweaking numbers. You're not tweaking how it works. You're literally just throwing a tag that already exists just right on there. So I think that's really great. Nice to see it. Do you want to do this next one, Wizard Beast, since you're our Deathwing fan?
Yep. So yeah, so Deathwing got a change, and his change kind of falls into what we were talking about with equipment. So it's for his Terror Claws, and its old was attack an enemy. If it was damaged this turn, deal 8 damage to them. New, attack an enemy. If it was damaged this turn, deal 8 damage to it and its neighbors. So now it's kind of having that equipment just put into where it's also hitting the neighbors. And then for the equipment change, it just, the old was the Claws of Terror deals 5 more damage and affects adjacent enemies. New, Claw of Terror deals 5 more damage. So what they did is they just took the affect adjacent enemies and just put that straight onto the ability. So the 5 extra damage, like that's always good just to have more damage on it. But now, you know, you can actually use different equipments because just having damage on 2 more characters, like for the adjacents, was so big that there was no point of even changing any of his equipments. Where now you're giving up damage, but maybe if you want to try like some fell stuff or go for his other one, which is better for the elementals, it might be worth to try a different equipment with him.
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. We had one of the people who's involved with the balance testing stuff talk about how that's something they could see being changed, and a little while later we do see it get changed. It's in line with their philosophy of kind of baking in items that are kind of auto include, make it so there's a little bit more item diversity. Here we didn't see like a big rework of the item itself, but I think Deathwing was already in a relatively okay position, and this is just something that makes a lot of sense to do. It's not tuning him up like by a crazy extent. It's just giving a lot more choice in item selection, and I think that's something that really should be emphasized more in mercenaries. We don't have a lot of ways to customize our characters. That's something I definitely want to talk about more in a future episode, is I think that's one thing. Obviously, mercenaries is much more simplified than a lot of the other games you can compare it to, but I do think having those kinds of decisions, especially ones you're making before you're even stepping into PvE or PvP, is an interesting and important part of the game. And so the fact that those become less streamlined, where you actually have to make a decision rather than just choosing the objectively best one, that's going to be better for gameplay. So really, like this change.
Matt could really tie into that PvE endgame kind of stuff where they talked, I mean, they've alluded to this idea of a way to modify characters. Again, we don't know if it's only for the PvE, but yeah, we would love to see that in PvP. Like, imagine if it's along the lines of like socketed gear or something like that, right? Where it's, yeah, you get to start, again, we get to kind of time travel back to the good old days where people were theory crafting based on like things that could work together, and like, oh, what if we did all these cool things together, instead of like you were saying, this equipment's the good one, you take it. If you want to play this character, it's because you're playing it with this guy and you know it's that equipment, and it doesn't really feel like it's your Vol'jin, right? It doesn't feel like it's your Azjara. Even if you have a cool skin for it, it's not the Azjara with a specific weapon enchantment on it that you chose to do or something. Because I love one of my favorite games or favorite parts about any kind of game, whether it's Hearthstone or Magic or even things like League, right, is the ability to play the game before, like you said, before you step into the ring in that way, that you can actually literally just like theory craft and work on stuff and think about things and have fun manipulating the variables without actually committing to the actual game itself yet. And you can preload a lot of your strategy, a lot of your work off the battlefield, I think is always a great, great, great game just for like player retention and just being able to, like you said, not even have to have internet to be able to play the game like that, just to talk about it. So I'd love to see something like that, hopefully for PvP, but no cool new equipment for Deathwing here, but still.
100% agree. I think that's
change.
It's just something that I think the game needs. Like, it's fine that it's simpler, but I do think you need a way to give that customization that makes it feel like this is my Vol'jin. And it's different than every other Vol'jin in some way, whether that's a cosmetic.
Even it's different than two-thirds of the other Vol'jin. Like,
yeah.
I've got our community of, we've got our like Ruby enchanted Vol'jin gang. Like, we have our own Discord, and where all the Ruby one tricks are in this Discord or something, and all the Emerald ones are over there. But like, now there's at least camps within the characters. It's kind of like with Pokemon, where you could have like, sure, I've got my level 80 Pikachu or whatever, but I've taught it a different move that, like, on purpose, I wanted to have this move set, and it's a different than your level 80 Pikachu. Before, right now, we're kind of just in, we're both playing Pikachu, and that's cool, but it's still the same Pikachu. And like I said, that it would be great to have the personality kind of the player infused into this, which again is what this power fantasy of being able to play with all these really sick iconic characters. They're funky, they have options. They, in the WoW lore and the Hearthstone canon, there is that decision making, the different gear, right? And so you could always make it your own. Mercenaries really kind of lacks that for the moment, but certainly could implement it in a million different ways.
Yeah, as someone who's played a ton of Pokemon, both casually and competitively, the game is deeper than the ocean in terms of the combinations you can do and making your Pokemon feel unique and whatnot. And I think the game would benefit greatly from something like that in the future. It'll probably be something we talk about more in depth in the future, as there are a million different ways you could do it. But any way they can do it, I think would be a huge positive. But yeah, so Yarel, also another character getting buffed here, relatively simple buffs, but pretty impactful ones. Huge amount of HP, going from 76 max health to 88, an additional 12 health. I don't think we've ever seen a character gain more health all at once. Yarel was already fairly tanky. I mean, she wasn't the hugest, but she was like pretty bulky, especially if you got some stat buffs or if you had that shadow resistance for your team. It was pretty hard to kill her sometimes, aside from Yashiraj. But usually by the time I was getting her out, Yashiraj was long gone. Yeah, this is a pretty significant buff. And then on top of that, her Radiant Light ability, the second skill that lets you buff her and buff your other holy stuff when characters use holy spells this turn, going from 4 speed to 2 speed. This feels like they're trying to have it be comboable with Cornelius more, giving Holy a little bit more way to do kind of stuff within its tribe. Overall, really good change. I like this change a lot. Holy feels very on the edge, like kind of fringe playable, at least as a bench. I've experimented a lot with it. Yarel has been a big part of why it's been successful for me, and I think these changes are going to help with that. I think if anything, maybe we'll see a little bit more experimentation with Cornelius and her, and maybe there's something here. You know, obviously we are very much in need of more ways to counter Shadow, so making her a bit harder to kill might not be a bad way to at least partially help get there. So yeah,
you can speed tie that with all kinds of different. You've got some of the carryall abilities and the Judgment of Humility from Tyrion and stuff like so. Like, just anytime an ability actually drops that much speed and it cares about your other team, or like if players haven't cast all kinds of abilities, you kind of get a double payment off of that. Not only does it kind of counteract abilities and just especially pumping attack and health directly negating damage taken, but in this case, yeah, being able to speed tie it on purpose to get extra buffs, this is a sick buff for sure.
Yeah.
I'm a little forgetful on the ability. Does it give +4/+4 after or before the ability goes off?
So I believe it's after. I actually have the wiki page up on her right now. So Radiant Light, gain +6/+6 when another friendly character uses a holy ability this turn, they gain +6/+6. So I think someone in the chat I talked to about this, where unfortunately it doesn't work the good way with attacks. I think you gain it after doing the attack, because it specifically says it doesn't say after, it just says uses an ability, but I don't think it realizes they use that ability, at least in terms of an attack, until after they've done it. I don't think you're immediately getting the stats. The only one that's getting them immediately is her, because she just gains the stats, but obviously she's not attacking that turn. So it still is more of a kind of setup than immediate impact, but I do think being able to combo it with things like Cornelius, as well as just giving her some more health, is going to make it a bit more viable, as it felt like a cool ability that just needed a little bit more support. So now, going down in speed, more stuff to combo it with, maybe it'll help get it there. Cool buff all around, happy to see it. Do you want to do the next one, Mulhu, Blink Fox?
Yeah, definitely. I haven't even played a ton with the Blink Fox that has been the subject of a lot of relatively significant changes over the past. Like, I remember Blink Fox being one of those really kind of beloved characters just at face value when the game originally launched. Had one of the really good kind of baby Blink Fox skins back in the day, and just I remember all the skin lines of Blink Fox being really cool. They've been consistently updated as Arcane gets better, and Blink Fox's own abilities change. The Mind Thief 10th tail and stuff has been all over the place. So this character's been all over the map, but like some pretty hardcore buffs again this time in a number of different ways. The first one, its max stats are going from 1184 to a 1492, so +3, +8. That's significant, and Blink Fox aficionados will kind of realize that, well, first of all, 14 attack is just one of the highest attacks in the game now. I think we were saying it's literally like tied with Deathwing, which on a flavorful way is quite funny. But you would often, especially running with 10th tail equipment, with being able to steal abilities from people, you would find yourself in spots with Blink Fox where you would steal an ability that might just be straight up attack somebody. And with only having 11 attack, it almost felt worse to use that than even in some cases an uncomboed Arcane Fling that you didn't want to take damage back. It just like felt like even though you rolled an attack, your attack was too low that it didn't matter. And so now you kind of have to get there. You have to steal the ability to still get an opportunity to attack, but it does feel better to attack now. So that feels good. And then Arcane Fling is getting boosted again from the old version, which is basically the new version to the original launch, is deal 13. If it hasn't acted, deal 18. So it's kind of like a Tavish style aim shot. And now it's just straight deal 17. If it hasn't acted, deal 22. And then there's an equipment that still adds damage on top of it. That's still regular, but the damage on this just continues to go up and up and up. And I think this is one of the only abilities we've really seen change where it got boosted once and then boosted again, though changed slightly in functionality, where before it had arcane combo and now it's an aim shot. But this is great. And now I think with the equipment, it's going up to somewhere like 29 damage before crit with a relevant spell type. I mean, that's huge. I mean, these are, again, numbers that we really didn't see before at a relatively fast speed, like 5 speed, you can speed it up. So Blink Fox, again, going up and up and up. This has always been, I've loved playing with this character from with the Mana Blink, with the Mind Thief, and now they're really trying to make its first ability quite good. This is maybe one of the first mercs where all three abilities are like totally legit, and despite really never breaking constructed by any means.
Yeah, it was like Blink Fox was good at launch because you're using it with your Karen Diablo to reset the cooldown and stuff, and that was cool. But really hasn't seen a lot of play since. Actually showed up in Grumpy's tournament today, which was neat to see, and actually performed pretty well there. And that was before the buffs, so I think there is a very real chance we start seeing Blink Fox make its way into Arcane comps now, at least the Arcane bench, because they haven't been fully decided on that third unit. Karen's seen a lot of play and obviously is good in that comp, but we have seen some people try Milhouse. I'm not a Milhouse believer. I don't think he's very good in it, but this feels like just a better arcane option to have.
Replaces that Milhouse potentially, like quite safely.
If you just want like a third arcane character, this one now it's a bit more bulky, ton more bulky than Milhouse. I think Milhouse is like 70 HP or something. Blink Fox has 20 more.
This is a literal elder, like an old god Blink Fox at this point.
And you actually take decent residual, 14. That's nothing to scoff at when you're swinging into it. Like, yeah, it's not the most, but it's pretty big for default stats. If you give it a little bit of a buff, it get pretty big. And another thing Mulhu pointed out is sometimes you're stealing attack abilities with it, so now Blink Fox will be able to do that a little bit better too, which is kind of cool, the extra attack. So unexpected change, really surprised they're actually juicing it this much, both in stats and damage, but not one I'm unhappy to see. Blink Fox has always been a pretty decent character, and maybe they'll see a bit more play now.
Yeah, no, I've always liked Arcane. Like, that's been definitely my favorite tribe, so I'm happy to see more with Blink Fox, because I even, like, try and just mess with openers and try and find, like, a cool one with Arcane and having, like, Blink Fox in there. So, you know, like, having 22 damage if you go act first, and then you have equipment 29, so basically a crit for 58 on a red if you're able to go before them.
You're like an
That's a
arcane guff now at
huge.
this point, almost,
Yep.
which is
Yeah,
pretty sick.
that's a huge chunk of damage. So it's really cool to see. Like you said, basically Blink Fox has kind of been here, like going in and out of like metas and stuff and having some play since basically the beginning of the game. So it is really cool change that they've been kind of sticking with Blink Fox, because I think there's actually been like,
It's
what,
had more
three
changes than I
changes
think
recently?
any other character, or at least
Yeah.
tied for the most, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I think it has, yeah, the
They
most
changed
changes out of
Tenth Tail,
all
then they
the
buffed it, or they reworked its main ability, and now they're buffing it
game.
again. So, yeah, we haven't seen too much of that, so that's kind of neat. I think those are like probably the coolest changes. There's one really weird one. Fathom Lord Karathus got two additional damage on Cataclysmic Bolt. It wouldn't be a Mercenaries buff patch if there wasn't one buff that just makes you kind of scratch your head. Like, what is this doing? This isn't making this character any more playable, most likely. Not bad, sure, we'll take it, but it's kind of strange. Like when Murky got like one additional health or something silly. But there's one character left that they actually did do a pretty significant amount to, and that's Rexxar. He's been buffed before, but he's getting some more buffs. Animal Companion. One cooldown to zero cooldown. You can spam those huffers. You can role play as a constructed Rexxar and just always summon Huffer,
Awesome.
which is kind of cool. Maybe we'll see some synergy in like the summon comp or in one of the arcane bench builds for powering up your Long Jin. Explosive Shot got a buff too. They kind of are wrapping the item in here. Making it go from 16 base damage and 8 to adjacent to 20 base damage and 12 to adjacent. That's a pretty significant damage up. And then they're changing Huntsman's Rifle. Before, it gave Explosive Shot 4 more damage. Now it is passive at the start of each turn. Deal 10 damage to all enemies if you've summoned all three animal companions this game. You don't need them to be alive, but they have to have been summoned. I think this is
A
really
long
cool,
time.
even though it's probably entirely unplayable in PvP, because it's the game is way too fast. You're not having Rexxar live for 3 turns, just pooping out beasts. Like it's just not gonna happen in the current environment. Maybe there's some silly PvE stuff you can do with this that could be fun, but even though it's cool, I don't see this one being particularly relevant to PvP, mainly going to be more the animal companion, and I think the most the explosive shot change probably going to be the best. Is it enough? I don't know, but I think people are going to try it. It's always hard to judge these 1 to 0 cooldowns, like we saw with Yulon, pretty insane. So maybe the animal companions are actually a little bit better than we're used to giving them credit for in Mercenaries. So we'll have to see it, wait and see on that one, but happy to see these buffs overall. Like it's nice to see they're still working on these launch characters, trying to bring them up to speed. And I'm hopeful that in the future, eventually, we get to a point where most of the launch characters have this kind of treatment, bringing them up to more current release mercenaries.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's overall just, you know, like you said, these 1 to 0 cooldowns, I would say, are a lot more than 2 to 1 because you can just spam it every turn. So we'll have to kind of just see how it goes overall with this one. I don't think it's definitely not powerful as Yuan, I would say, for that one of just you could just literally give everyone +15/+15 on your whole team every turn. But it'll be interesting to see, and I'll probably definitely mess around with it, see if I can go for like a massive beast opener, if like an arcane backline, just kind of see how that is. Just spam a bunch of beast out, maybe do like him and crush, and maybe just turn one, boom, pop out two more beast, and then just kind of keep repeating it,
Yeah,
something like
you
that.
never know. It's really hard to judge these ones until we actually get to try them in game because, like you said, it's not going from 2 to 1, it's going from 1 to 0. It's instead of being cut in half, it's like cut in infinity. And that can be pretty strong. So we'll have to wait and see. Overall, happy with the changes, frankly, given how they prefaced it with it was going to be a smaller balance buff patch kind of thing. I was actually, this was actually more than I thought we were going to get. So we'll take those. Never a bad thing to see characters that aren't seeing play get a bit of help and make things a bit more consistent with the spell school. So that's pretty dope. We do have one more topic here to cover before we wrap up for this episode. I know you have to go here shortly, Wizard Beast, so I figured let you talk on this first. Basically, if you haven't heard, and I'd be really surprised if you haven't heard, they're changing some monetization stuff within the game. Battlegrounds is being more heavily monetized. They're getting rid of being able to buy perks with gold. Now you can only buy them with the Battleground Season Pass. It's getting its own separate pass from the standard kind of pass. Battlegrounds is getting its own one. And unfortunately, you have to, if you want all four hero selections, you have to buy the paid pass, which is, I think, $15 for the 3 or 4 months, however long a Battleground season is. A lot of feelings about that in the community. And then they also, at the same time, are introducing and kind of adding a artificial currency called Runestones. It's not really changing the price of anything, but we are impacted with that, as now everything outside of packs is pretty much going to be purchasable with Runestones. Again, for now, prices are exactly the same. It's not really going to impact that, but you buy a set amount of this currency, and then you spend that currency on in-game items. And what do you think about this, Wizard Beast? I'm curious.
I mean, it definitely for Hearthstone, I would say this is a big change overall, because Hearthstone, you know, a lot of the modes you could start doing kind of free to play and go through it all, even like standard and such, you can kind of play it and, you know, you're not going to get the collection all right away. But with this, at least like on Battleground's side, now with like the whole entire pass and everything, you can't ever get the 4 slots. So I've seen like a lot on Twitter, especially, of people been upset with it. And I kind of understand, like, the one thing I would say is, like, what if they kind of kept it, but also changed it, like, as in, they still kept it on the Battle Pass, you get it if you buy the Battle Pass, but then also make it so you could still buy the 2 slots with gold. Like, why not just have it on as, like, hey, this is a bonus, you don't have to pay extra gold to get this, you get it with the Battle Pass, but for people who don't, still pay a gold amount or something. Like, I understand for monetization and stuff, but I feel like with that, it would definitely help with community, because I've seen it's been kind of bad out there recently.
Yeah.
With it all.
Just putting it mildly.
Yeah. So I think, you know, something like that could help. And then on the Runestone side, that's going to really affect mercenaries, because as we saw on the charts that they showed, you can only now get mercenary bundles with Runestones. You can't get it with just regular money anymore. That you have to buy Runestones to get through that. So the one other thing is, as we see in a lot of other games, say like League of Legends with like Riot Points and stuff, when you buy in bulk, you always normally get bonuses. And this is one of the games that, I think this is the only game that I've seen, at least that I've played, where if you buy something in bulk, you don't get even one bonus point.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of know it either way was not going to look good for Blizzard, but it feels weird that, like, if you're going to go for an $80 bundle, it's not of Runestones, it's not like, hey, here you get like an extra $5 of like 500 Runestones or something. But I do understand how they were saying, like, they want exact prices and they don't want to swap anything up. So, you know, it's kind of back and forth both ways.
Yeah, it's like, I don't like the Runestone thing, because even though it isn't affecting the game immediately right now in terms of cost of the game and stuff like that, there is potential for abuse with that in the future. That's what kind of concerns me, because companies are always going to try and maximize their profit on stuff, especially a publicly traded one. And even though it's fine now, there's nothing stopping them from saying in a year from now, maybe having runes, selling things for Runestones in less convenient amounts. Or, I mean, like you said, they were kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't with the bonus ones, because if you don't offer bonus ones, I've already seen people kind of memeing around that, well, it's $4.99 for 500 or $79.99 for 8,000 or whatever. So if I buy it in small purchases, I'm technically saving like 17 cents or 12 cents or however much it is. And I mean, it's pretty meme-y, right? Like, yeah. I don't think anyone's actually going to waste like a few minutes buying more bundles just to save 17 cents or something. I think most people's time is worth more than that. But if they did it that way, people are complaining. If they did it the other way, I guarantee you people would have complained even more because they would have said, well, you're incentivizing the whales. You're kind of punishing people for purchasing in small amounts. Like, there was no way they were going to make this change and not have it kind of blow up in some way or the other. I think it's just one of those things we'll have to keep an eye on and see how it changes over time if it does. But for the time being, basically anything that was available for money except packs. Packs are still available for, I think, either currency as well as gold, obviously. You can use the runestones. It's weird, but it doesn't seem to be immediately impacting the actual economy of the game, and they did say that. But again, I'm more concerned about the future with this kind of stuff rather than what they're going to do with it immediately. That's kind of where I stand on at least the runestone aspect of it. It's
I've definitely always been one where it's, I'm not necessarily afraid of or even gonna like preemptively play around or punish even companies for like instituting a way to be able to then potentially punish us later. Like, it's there is a degree of like, we'll just assume that we'll give them good faith until they troll us with it. But I think I've always kind of seen it as like, if they're gonna troll us with it,
let's rip the bandaid off.
We're not gonna stop anyways. Like, they're gonna just troll us with it. So like,
it
is something that has like a vested degree of kind of like potential for getting cheekier, and like straight dollar figures will never really be able to get cheeky like that. But we've even seen in Mercenaries and stuff, right, that like even just being dollar figures, there are so many numbers behind the scenes that can still make it bad or even predatory without having a runestone system in it. That I'm not really too worried about the runestone implementation. It definitely seems like they're kind of copying like Riot points. I haven't even thought about in that way. And it would be, like I said, it would be probably cool to be able to get a bulk bundle in that way, but they're kind of copying the like TFT style approach with Riot points and with even like augments now kind of coming in with the way the quests are being added to Battlegrounds. And as a pure free-to-play player, I'm most bothered by the fact that I can't have four heroes anymore. Like, that alone is enough of the biggest change to me by like an enormous margin. And I wonder if they could have let you grind for the four, but still implemented the runestone system. Would people have even cared about the runestone system? Like, I honestly
probably not as much.
I
don't think so.
That trade-off could have been, you probably would have gotten away with whatever you wanted with the runestone system at that point. And people could still say like, oh, whatever. Yeah, I don't care. As long as I can play my four guys, as long as I don't just get patchwork and whatever, Miss Bigglesworth or whatever, like in every game, as long as they have a choice of more than two, then I don't care what your monetization is. And again, as a pure free-to-play player, I, on the principle that I've just been grinding everything else with, won't be spending money, so I will just have two characters, and now I probably won't play Battlegrounds as much. So how many of me are there? I don't know. But obviously, the math turns out to be not enough to make it not profitable to do this. So they're going to run it, and there's only only time will tell. But this is only season two of Battlegrounds, which feels very weird. The game's been out for so long, but it is kind of like, quote-unquote, an early season. So I think the backlash will probably revolve around the four choices. Literally even give people like the opportunity to grind for three or something, like just more than two. It's so, or change or cut a ton of characters or something, right? Cut a ton of the heroes and like get rid of all the like really whack ones, so you can't ever just like low roll and like kind of get forced to concede. Because I think most players really do understand like the heroes are what directly lead to a lot of your win percentage. And even all the guides that you ever see from Battlegrounds perspective are almost never with like, these are the minions to prioritize. It's always like, here's the hero tier list.
Here's why.
Here's how to play your hero.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. But I've kind of been liking Standard a little bit, even just getting back into it. I know it still has some of its issues, and they did just get a bunch of buffs and nerfs. But Mercenaries looking on the upswing, Battlegrounds maybe looking on the downswing, and Standard is kind of even keel at the moment. So having the different flows is okay for now, I'd say.
Yeah. Hey, if you're a disgruntled Battlegrounds free-to-play player, there's no better time to give Mercenaries a shot. That's because we're now the most free-to-play mode by default. But yeah, I think it's awful that they're locking such a significant thing behind a paywall. Like both of you said, if they gave people some way to get the other two heroes, or even if they met that people halfway in the middle and said, hey, you have two, there's a way to grind for a third. If you want the fourth, you got to pony up some money. That still wouldn't be ideal, but it would be a lot better. People smarter than me have crunched the numbers, and there is a competitive advantage just because of the difference in power level between heroes. Right. So if you're trying to take BGs competitively, it punishes you. Not a good thing. Definitely sucks. I think the thing that's talked about less, though, and which impacts me as like a casual player, one, they just entirely murdered my desire to play Battlegrounds because I barely had a desire before. And if you're cutting my choices in half, I'm not going to waste my time. It just doesn't interest me. Also, there are going to be way more concedes at lower MMRs. People are going to see, hey, both these heroes suck, or hey, I don't like either of these heroes. I'm not going to commit to a 10, 15, 20, 30 minute game with them. I'm just going to concede. It costs me nothing. I'm going to reroll the lobby. And that is going to make for a worse experience overall for players. And that obviously won't happen at higher MMRs, but I think you're going to see it happen at a lot higher MMRs than it does right now, which is mostly the really low where people are AFKing and stuff. So awful change overall. I mean, yes, they're a company, they have to find a way to pay for their mode and stuff, but you would think with the popularity of Battlegrounds and how this has been an established precedent kind of in the mode for a while, it's obvious with the response that the community is really unhappy about this. Will that result in people stop playing the mode? We won't really know until we see in the patch on Tuesday and afterwards, but it feels like, and they are adding a whole ton of cool stuff and all this stuff that we didn't talk about because we're not a Battlegrounds focused show, but it seems like a lot of that stuff is taking a backseat to the anger people have, and in my opinion, kind of rightly so, because it's really the first thing in Hearthstone that is like definably pay to win. A lot of people, especially the disgruntled people on Reddit from Mercenaries launch, were like, oh, Mercs is so pay to win. But ultimately, like I said at the beginning, I know more people now who have free to play, full maxed out their collection without spending a single dime. They have no disadvantages versus somebody who spent a lot of money on the mode. Like, you can get there. You will have the same exact gameplay whether you spent money or not. It's just the speed. And it's like that in Standard. It's like that. It's like that in pretty much the rest of Hearthstone. And now Battlegrounds is the exception to that. And it feels especially bad because before, Battlegrounds was kind of the most accessible mode. You didn't need anything. You just ran in. You pressed your play button. You went in. And there wasn't even anything to spend gold on if you just main Battlegrounds. So it's like, you would just spend your gold on the pass if that was all you played, and it was easy. Now you can't do that. It sucks. I would love to see them change it. I don't think they're going to. Only time will tell, though. So let us know how you feel about that in the comments, but yeah, it doesn't seem like a good thing for the game. I think eventually they're going to do a Mercenaries pass too, but yeah. Fortunately... Yep, yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, the one thing I will mention about the Runestones, kind of, and the reason they said they're also doing this for Battlegrounds, is since they can offer smaller things to Battlegrounds, well, seeing that they literally made all of Mercenaries besides packs only Runestones, and we've also seen recently like more of those coin purses that you can buy, or just like smaller bundles that you can get. So I'm wondering if they'll maybe kind of stick with that and even go maybe smaller on some of them and do like smaller cosmetics of like, here, one skin for a certain hero instead of just a bundle. Because every time you do a skin like for a hero, it's always of like $20 bundle or whatever, $30, and it's like, hey, random skin for this hero and a bunch of packs. Like, what if they just offered just the skin? Like, that is something I was kind of thinking about with the Runestones, and I was talking to Zombies before about it. It's like, hey, $5 for like, hey, here's a skin for like Urel, here's a skin for like Edwin, or like patches, or like other things besides just the legendaries and stuff. Like, because, you know, like, at least for me, I don't have like all the epic skins. Like, epic skins are still pretty hard to get for all the characters.
Even as a skin whale, I don't have all the epic skins. Like, it's hard to get some of them. So like, that would be nice if they did implement a change like that. That was part of their logic, was like, hey, especially with the BG stuff, we sell these bundles and it has so many heroes, but like, you might only want one or two of the skins and you don't want to pay $20 or $30 for all these skins you're not going to use. This cuts down on transaction fees and lets them sell things for essentially $1 or $2 that they wouldn't be able to sell normally. So that, in general, is a decent thing, and it would be cool to see that also make its way into Mercenaries, where instead of having to buy, because we don't need the packs, really. A lot of us who've been saving for a while, sure, we could care less about the packs, where if you care about the cosmetics, you really just want the skins, because you probably have a lot of the, or all the characters. So I could leave the packs, just let me get the skins. And if they can let me do that for cheaper because of this new currency, well, then that wouldn't be a bad thing. So that could be a possible upside. So I do appreciate you pointing that one out. But yeah, it's a lot of stuff to talk about. We don't really want to just repeat all the stuff that has been said already. You know, if you really care about the Battlegrounds stuff and the implications, I definitely recommend checking out a more BGs-focused like creator. I know one of the big popular BGs people, it's Ben, I recently committed to, he says he's not going to be buying the pass, just to see what the experience is like and kind of show that off. So curious to see how that all goes. I'll be watching it from the sidelines. That'll be my replacement for playing Battlegrounds, just seeing what happens with it, with this change. Yeah. But yeah, it's not great. Kind of sucks. Hopefully we won't see too much more of that in the future. I do think eventually we're going to get a Mercs pass. I don't think they would make it anywhere near as pay to win as Battlegrounds, because Mercenaries has not had as much trouble being monetized compared to Battlegrounds. They've openly admitted skins have not done very well for them, and Battlegrounds as a game just seems hard to find a thing to monetize that doesn't affect the gameplay. Whereas Mercenaries, yeah, a lot of the prices in the store are overpriced, but you don't need those to actually get those things. You can earn them in-game by playing the game. And as long as that's the case, as long as there is an option that isn't totally insane to get the stuff just by putting in the time, that's fine. I don't mind that some of this stuff is overpriced, because I'm just not going to buy it. Like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I wish the prices were cheaper. Maybe they will be in the future if people don't buy them, but ultimately, I can earn it all for $0 if I just want to put the time into the mode, and I think that's why people are so upset that that's being taken away. And even if we do get a Mercs pass in a year or two or something, I don't think they're gonna rip out a core feature of the mode to try and sell it back to you, or change it in some significant way. So that's pretty much gonna wrap it up, though. Again, really awesome that we've already made it to episode 30. Do want to thank everyone for supporting the show, being a part of the community. It wouldn't happen without you, so we appreciate you. Hopefully we have some cool stuff to kind of give us something to talk about and look forward to with these events in this kind of slow upcoming month of September, right before we're going to get our next big drop and potentially our coin solution in October. So looking forward to that. Again, more information on the tournament and sign up and all that stuff coming later this week. But we do want to thank you so much for watching this episode. If you enjoyed it, do remember to like, subscribe, do all that cool stuff. And we will see you in the next episode of The Fighting Pit. Take it easy, everybody.
Good night.
See you guys. Stay safe.